Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic, who does a great job covering the LA Rams. Jordan, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I love it. You kind of brought me in with the Foo Fighters here. I appreciate that. I'm awake.
Oh, yeah. It's what we do here on the program. We're making sure everybody that they're energized, ready to go in the morning. So, Jordan, what's this week been like for you? What's this week been like in the city in terms of just the excitement for not only the Rams being in the Super Bowl, obviously, but the Rams being in the Super Bowl in their hometown in LA? What's that been like?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, there's a lot of people sort of migrating from various parts of the city, a big spread out town, as you guys know. And so people coming in from all over up north and then a little bit further down south. And it's been exciting. There's all kinds of things set up downtown near the convention center with the NFL Experience and Radio Row starting to fill up this week. So you definitely feel that energy. You know, obviously people still trying to keep each other safe and take care of each other. But these teams, I mean, I think people are gearing up to think that this is maybe going to be a really fun one. They're not going to want to miss it.
So, Jordan, so it's 5:03 a.m. for you. First of all, thank you for joining us at 5:03 a.m. local time. Where are you on a highway right now?
Yes, I'm on, not to sound all SNL, but I am on the 405 at the moment.
Yes.
yes, and also I'm on with you guys at 5. I'm trying to prove LA's not as soft as people think it is, guys, all right? I'm trying to, I'm up, I'm ready, I'm awake.
I am impressed. What is this week like for you? And I know it's still early in the week, but, look, you... among all the great people we have at The Athletic, I mean, I think you have done astoundingly good work on this beat with you constantly churn out these really in-depth great stories, but then you still have the duties of a beat writer. So in a week like this, are you overwhelmed? Do you have it all kind of figured out in terms of schedule? You got media day and all this stuff. Like how is that going for you?
Well, in my cup holder right now is a 64-ounce of cold brew, so I think we're kind of going from there. But, no, it's kind of cool, right? Like, I love beat writing. Joe, you know this, too. It's like I love being a beat writer because you cover change over time, and I think no team every team, I think, in the NFL has a riveting story, has an inspiring story in many ways, but also a story of what it takes to get to moments like this. And what it takes to maximize that change over a short amount of time, in order to sort of keep pushing yourself over those little hills and through those little windows that are in your way, getting, you know, first from the 8 teams left to 4 to 2. And it's the hardest thing to do. This league pulls you down toward parity more often than not. And all kinds of things, as Tennessee, I'm sure, knows better than most. It's so much comes along the way in terms of adversity. But what I love to cover is how teams pivot, adjust, catalysts that make them evolve. And I think that's beat writing. And I think that's what these Rams are. These Rams, people think they're a super team. They kind of are in some ways, but there's an undercurrent there of total substance from the way that they've built this roster and the way that they've gone about constructing to reach their second Super Bowl in the last 5 years under Sean McVay. It's no small feat. It's an impressive thing. And it's interesting because, you know, you want to meet the moment with that part of it, right? As a writer, you want to bring people in and make people feel what you feel, although I hope people don't feel maybe as caffeinated as I do right now because that's a little bit dangerous. But I think that you just want to make sure that people are with you on this way, right? That's our job. At the same time, so you cover the injuries in minutia, those types of things. But at the same time, try to wrap yourself fully around the moment and maybe try somehow to put words on a piece of paper and just kind of see what comes out the other side.
Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Jordan, what in your mind has Matthew Stafford already proven to this point this year? And What would a win on Sunday do for him personally, his legacy, all that sort of thing in your mind?
You know, I'm not one of the people that kind of argues like, you know, if he wins, we need to start talking about him in the Hall of Fame. I'm really not kind of on that side of the argument. I just think that it's just a lot of never haves that he's experiencing right now. And that can be really rejuvenating and revitalizing for somebody. You see it a lot with veteran players. Part of the Rams strategy has kind of been acquiring veteran players. And then they sort of find a second life almost or new energy when they come out here. And a lot of it has in the past has been, you know, playing with a guy like Aaron Donald, a couple of the other stars that they have on the team. But on the offensive side, a lot of it's been collaborating with Sean McVay for Matthew Stafford. And they really kind of built this new offense. This McVay system has moved forward. And they really built that together. They did that together. And so I think in terms of legacy, that's kind of what I think about with Matthew. They've pushed this thing past its sort of ceiling that it initially had gone to. And I think with him, you know, he's proven to a lot of people what he can do on a big stage. He's also proven who he is and kind of who he's always been. He's a little bit chaotic sometimes, guys. Like, he throws interceptions sometimes, and he makes aggressive throws, and that's what's going to happen when you do make those types of throws. But he plays a heck of a fourth quarter, and I kind of think, and not to get too corny here, or too ridery or anything, but I kind of think that's what we're looking at now in terms of his football life, is he's trying to put together a really solid fourth quarter and kind of ride out into the sunset, not now, but a couple years from now, and knowing that he put together that last leg, that it was really special and really something.
You know, Jordan, Odell Beckham got a lot of crap coming out of Cleveland. I don't think the Rams are where they are without his emergence and ability to kind of step in for Robert Woods. What have you thought of him and his short time with the Rams?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they're here. I don't think they make it through a couple of those postseason games without some of the catches that he made. I mean, it all comes down to, especially when things are so tight down to the wire, all the margins are so thin. It comes down to those like little plus ones, those little plus 0.25s that kind of get you past what another team is doing with everything so competitive at this point. And Odell kind of thrives in that situation. He hasn't had, I think, in recent years, a lot of opportunities to be that guy. And I think he sort of met that challenge head on. And he's very aware of kind of what the narrative is and has been about him since New York and also since leaving Cleveland. And I think he has almost, I don't think he's like trying to prove anyone wrong, but I think he has found here in Los Angeles a little bit more of a space to show first and then let what comes, you know, in terms of the talk comes after. You know, you see him immediately in here just working. He plays his, you know, 2 days after he shows up in Los Angeles, he has to play because Robert Woods tears his ACL. Really awful, sickening moment for teammates because he's so beloved. And I think Odell kind of saw that, and he was like, well, this is on my shoulders now. This guy, everybody loves this guy. I cannot let this guy down. I can't let this team down. So immediately, you know, starts trying to work into the offense, but then also took some of the younger guys, the younger receivers, Van Jefferson, Ben Skoranek, under his wing and sort of tried to teach them a little bit of some of the technicalities of how he specifically plays the receiver position. So you're learning, if you're a young guy, from a guy like Cooper Kupp, and you're also learning from a guy like Odell Beckham, and that's a pretty complete set of tutoring lessons, I think. And it's been remarkable to see how he's, like I said, kind of with Matthew, sort of rediscovered parts of himself, I think, that also need to be in place before you do anything cool or special on the field. And that kind of is indicative, I think, of what they've built out here.
Jordan, last thing for you here. What do you think of the matchup against the Bengals? What intrigues you the most about this game?
I think this is so much fun, guys, honestly. Like, from the perspective of just a football watcher, like someone who just loves football, like this is fun. This is Matthew Stafford staring, you know, at a past version of maybe Matthew Stafford, right? This is Joe Burrow sort of catapulting himself into the future. This is Andrew Whitworth, maybe his last stand. This is Aaron Donald's shot to get a ring. This is like too rich for Hollywood. If you put it on a producer's desk, they'd probably laugh at you. There's just so many storylines, and I think that one of the coolest things about this game is these two teams are built so differently. The matchup's going to be what it is, and we could talk about that for hours, but what I really think is important here in the scope of the league is these two teams were built totally uniquely from the way any other team in the league builds their teams. Obviously, the quarterback is very important. That is the same. But these two teams are outliers, and normally the NFL likes to punish outliers. Like I said, it drags you down back to 8-8, back to parity. But these two teams have sort of persevered through that, and now they're being rewarded for it. The NFL does not reward outliers in this way, and we're seeing that there are different ways to do this thing. I think both these teams prove that.
Yeah, no question about it. Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Does a great job covering the L.A. Rams for The Athletic. Jordan, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning. Have fun this week. Should be a good one coming up on Sunday.
Thank you guys so much. My pleasure. Take care.
Stay caffeinated, Jordan.
Jordan Rodrigue, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Jordan had to say there. Get your thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup between the Rams and the Bengals. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you later in the show at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Rex Road loves the 80s team theme songs that come out. Did every team feel like they had needed to have a song? I mean, nothing really compares to the Super Bowl Shuffle, or maybe in our case, the Tennessee Oilers song by Brooks and Dunn, but it's good stuff from the Rams there.
Okay, first of all, so Michelle, you said that's 1986?
Yeah.
And it's called Let's Ram It?
Yes, and it's R-A-M, and then if you watch the video, it's like, just ram it, and then the whole team is like doing pointing and dancing and synchronized dance moves. It's a really great watch. Junie showed it to me and thinks it's the funniest thing ever, and then I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to keep that as a bump for Super Bowl week once we found out they were in it. Oh, it's great. I'm going to tweet out the link. It's a great, colorful video. It's really funny. And they have solos, too.
Let's ram it. Let's ram it. Let's think a little bit more about our song titles. But that's 86. So what that is probably half the team's league like, oh, the Super Bowl Shuffle, which was, of course, the year before.
Correct.
The Bears were the 85-86 Super Bowl. They did the Super Bowl Shuffle. So this is probably one of many teams saying, well, we need to have our own awkward rap song to go with our team. So, but I did not know that one. It's I'm going to have to dig in on that a little bit during the next break.
The 80s were quite something. It's a shame I missed out on that.
Me too, Rob.
It is. You guys would have probably had parachute pants and Ocean Pacific shirts too.
I'd probably have a perm.
Well, I can probably sell.
Oh, yeah. Awesome one.
Thanks to Jordan Rodrigue for joining us in the last segment. I'm curious from your vantage point on this, Joe. We've talked a lot about Stafford this year, obviously in terms of the way that he's played, but also, you know, the aggressiveness for the Rams to go out and get him and basically go all in with this team and this group. And we'll see if it pays off in a Super Bowl for him coming up on Sunday. What in your mind has Matthew Stafford proven already to this point, both in the regular season and in the postseason? And what do you think's on the line for him Sunday coming up against the Bengals in the Super Bowl?
Well, Jordan touched on something that, you know, like she said, like she's not going to get in on that, but that is a discussion that's like, to me, if he wins Sunday, it's amazing. I think within a year, he's going to go from probably not a Hall of Famer to probably a Hall of Famer, right? Like when you look at his numbers and then you throw in this season and you cap it off by winning it, I think it very much improves that for him. I think the move by the Rams and the prevailing, you know, opinion of Matthew Stafford, although the opinions were all over the map, but I think, like, for most Lions fans, I think they understood that, like, he was a legit quarterback, certainly good enough to win it all. Like a franchise quarterback, a quarterback that can carry a team, and he just played for the Lions. Now, some Lions fans, poor souls that they are, don't get that, and maybe they're rooting against Matthew Stafford. I don't know.
Store the roar.
Yes. But I feel like there were – I mean, even – we had a discussion. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. Is your opinion of Matthew Stafford different now than it was before this season started?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, there are still times – and we've talked about this. I mean, go back to the NFC title game. There are still throws that he makes where you're like, oh, boy, I don't know what you're doing there. And yeah. I think that – I mean, that just is what it is at this point. But he also – I mean – the degree of difference, I think back to the NFC title game where he throws the lollipop up in the air that should have been picked off. Yep. And then the next play, it's just an absolute BB that he's probably a throw that five guys in the league can make. And he just rips
maybe
it. Like it's unbelievable the way that he threw that next pass. So we've always been able to see that. Like Aaron Rodgers has talked about this for a long time. Like everybody, you know, talks about Patrick Mahomes and like the no-look passes and all that stuff. And Rodgers is like, yeah, well, Matthew Stafford's been doing that for like 12 years. Like, he's been doing that for a long time. So,
and the different arm angles and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like, the talent is there. Look, I mean, his numbers, go look at him. I mean, they're astounding, the numbers that he's put up. Now, look, I do think there were some times with Detroit where maybe he's trying to do too much, and that led to some just brutal interceptions that he used to throw in the past. I don't know that that's been the case as often this year, although he did go through about a 3 or 4 week stretch where there were some pretty awful interceptions, but he's a good player. Like, he's really, really good. And I agree. Like, I don't think there's any question that when his career is over, the numbers that he puts up are going to be Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, I also think as time goes on, we're probably going to have to start viewing the quarterback position a little bit differently in terms of the way, you know, the numbers add up, because I mean, there are average quarterbacks in today's NFL that are going to end up with better numbers than like Joe Montana. I mean, just
question.
So we're going to have to probably view that differently as we move forward here. But if he wins a Super Bowl and then you have those numbers on top of it, it's going to be pretty difficult to keep him out, in my opinion.
Yeah. And look, honestly, like, again, I've always thought a lot of him. I agree with you. There's been mine. It's one of those things where, I guess it just depends. Like, if you have a really cynical view of that organization, as I do, because I've seen, like, I still swear Chuck Long should have been a great quarterback in the NFL, but he went to the Lions. I don't know about Joey Harrington, probably not. But, you know, so many great players who have seen their careers just die there. Then you have a tendency to want to excuse away any great player's mistakes. But he, you know, there were times when it's like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But overall, man, awfully good. And again, you had some, you know, you had some good teams. You had some playoff teams. I mean, you got him to the playoffs, I guess, three times. And he had a team that in 2014, a team that won 11-5. I believe they lost. They didn't win the division. The Packers won the division, as usual. But 11-5 team, legit team, and goes into Dallas and should have won the game and got screwed on an all-time bad playoff call. Like, to me, it was like, you know, you get him out of there and he's got a chance to do something. I love the move. I just thought last offseason, whoever, I thought maybe the Colts were going to really get in there. And man, if the Colts had done that, the Colts would have won the division.
Yeah.
The Colts would have won the AFC South. So, like, right now, the Colts, like, Chris Ballard should look at this too. Now, granted, I understand that, like, Sean McVay, you know, went to Cabo and, like, bought Stafford like three margaritas and whatever and tampered the hell out of this whole thing or what, you know, however it all went down. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered, but
wore an Ugga costume out there, a little Georgia flair to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was a huge, you know, and this is where, like, you look at the Titans now, you look at teams now who are trying to upgrade. I do think that this whole season and what he has demonstrated about how sometimes you can have a great player with a bad franchise who maybe is better than people realize when he gets to a good team. I must expect that like there's going to be more teams that are close that are throwing everything in to try to pull something similar off. But it's also a hard situation to find a terrible team that's fine just taking draft picks for their franchise quarterback.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, did you just compare Stafford's raw talent to Mahomes? LOL. First off, no, I didn't. Secondly, he was a first round pick. So
he's the number one pick.
Number one pick overall. I'm saying what Aaron Rodgers said, which is that some of the throws that Mahomes makes, Matthew Stafford has been doing for a long time.
But let me follow up. Do I think Matthew Stafford is as good as Patrick Mahomes or will be thought of in that way, like when Mahomes is done, as long as Mahomes stays healthy? No. Is Matthew Stafford, in terms of arm talent, elite? To me, it's Rodgers, Mahomes, Stafford. Now, again, there's a lot more to it than arm talent, right?
Sure.
But arm talent, the ability to make throws, absolutely, like velocity, placement, anything you'd want to talk about with arm talent. I think that's probably the top three in the league right now. And Matthew Stafford has been that for a long time, and people had no idea because he toiled with the freaking Lions.
Enter the Text to Win contest presented by Blood Assurance. Text in the keyword Smashville now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a 2022 Stadium Series Nashville Predators jersey. Once again, that's Smashville texting in to 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NFL. And look at the Colts. Are Titans fans scared of the Colts potentially trying to upgrade at the quarterback position? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Knows this. I owe him a signed jersey. Okay, I got one of his. It is something that I absolutely love. I put it up in my office. It says Brett Kern, numerous time Pro Bowler. I don't know the exact. I don't want to cut him short right there in the office. I never sent him one back. I owe him. I also stole something from him in watching film. He has this incredible hitch that basically sets him up to be perfect every single time. I stole it from him for how good he is. And there's only a couple punters that are deemed important enough to have an entire poster on the side of the stadium, and Brett Kern is at the top of that list. I love him. I learned a lot from him. And, the AFC South obviously runs through Indianapolis from this point forward, but Brett Kern is going to do his best to make sure he does.
That was Pat McAfee yesterday at the Super Bowl. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com caught up with McAfee yesterday. Pat McAfee with some effusive praise for Titans punter Brett Kern there. McAfee, a big Brett Kern fan. Who's not? Who's not a big Brett Kern fan? That'd be my question.
He should start having Brett on weekly like Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
Little punter chat, you know, get into the nitty gritty on punting.
Yeah, man. If you're going to do it, Brett Kern would be a good guy to make that happen with. Good stuff yesterday as I'm watching this interview, because Jim Wyatt tweeted this out yesterday, I'm just thinking like McAfee's got his tank top on like he normally does. And I'm just thinking about like what the conversation would be like if we just talked about, you know, McAfee's tank top and Jim Wyatt's britches report all in the same area. It'd be pretty incredible.
Oh, man. Yeah. Both of them fashion mavens in different ways.
And Jim Wyatt, you know, he's got his visor on.
Oh, there's no question. No question about it.
You better believe that. I never really got the visor. Hey. Although if you're Jim Wyatt, you got that lush head of hair. You're fine. But like to me, it's like, why are you not protecting the top of your head with the hat?
Yeah.
Ben, because you have hair. In.
Well, there is that.
But you got to have like a thicket of hair like Jim Wyatt.
And Kirby Smart. He wears nothing but visors.
But there's dudes like, all due respect, Rob, you know, like who have the shiny dome like you who wear visors. Would you ever wear a visor?
No, you're not going to catch me in a visor. Just not gonna happen.
Like protect the dome, man.
Yeah, man. And just you'll catch me in a hat probably every day. But you're not gonna catch me in a visor. I can promise you that. Ben on the text line says, Madden has Brett Kern at an 85 rating. So disrespectful. I do love the Madden rating talks. It's Joe Rexroad's favorite subject here on the program.
I'm trembling in fury right now at the Madden rating. what's the number one, like what's the top punter Madden rating? Anybody know?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, it probably used to be McAfee. He's probably like a 94, 95.
Ooh, that's a big number right there.
That's a big number. Speaking of Pat McAfee, obviously he said at the end of that clip there, the South now runs through Indianapolis, obviously, as they move forward here. And Joe, we've talked so much about the Titans quarterback situation this offseason and the praise that Ryan Tannehill has received from John Robinson. One guy that has not received praise from his general manager has been Carson Wentz. Chris Ballard with some strong comments towards the end of the season, you know, talking about, you know, next season in the quarterback position, saying, I don't really want to comment on who's here. And then went on to talk about how mad he was. They embarrassed themselves, quote, the passing game has to be better. And that the conversation with Carson Wentz involved, quote, you've got to make the layups. So a little bit less of a backing from the GM when it comes to the Colts quarterback situation than it does for the Titans quarterback situation. Now, look, I don't know who's going to be out there and available. I don't know if it is Russell Wilson. We'll see about the Aaron Rodgers situation. All the quarterback conversations that we've been having about the Titans, I think you could pretty much put the Colts in that conversation as well. My question for Titans fans is, now that it seems all but a certainty that Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback next year, what's your fear level? How scared of you are the Colts of trying to upgrade at the quarterback position? Because, Joe, I will say the vibe I get for Chris Ballard, and, you know, obviously I think he was raw emotionally when these quotes came out, but the vibe I get from Chris Ballard is if there is an opportunity to upgrade at quarterback this offseason, given their financial situation, Chris Ballard's probably going to try to do it. That's my guess as to what's going to happen. So if you're a Titans fan, how concerning is that to you?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because right now when you talk about, you know, Tannehill and people kind of coming to the, you know, to the reality of like Tannehill's going to be the quarterback next year, like there's comfort in, well, this is still the favorite to win the AFC South. This is still the best quarterback in the AFC South. Now, you know, Trevor Lawrence may change that. Deshaun Watson technically is in the AFC South, but I don't count him because
you
he's not.
Better Davis Mills, you better give him his due.
Hey, you know, Davis Mills had a nice start here. You never know. It's not a stretch to say that he could someday get in there and, you know, and be in that discussion.
He's going to reach out and bring that team along with him. You just wait. Lovie Smith, he's inherited a good one.
Yes. Between Davis Mills' neck and Lovie Smith's beard, I mean, at least they can preoccupy the other team from the sideline. But you feel like your team is the favorite still of this division. If the Colts – and that's the thing. If the Colts do go out and make some huge splash, then – like if let's say the Colts get one of the, I guess, like one of the two guys who we've been talking about for the Titans, then that doubles the anger, doesn't it? The Titans didn't try because, you know, you don't want to get them for you. You want to get them so, like, the Colts don't get them. I don't know if that's, you know, a possibility. Again, I'm sticking with, I think Russ and Rodgers are in their same places next year, but I guess that would be the same situation for them, other than the fact that they can actually do it.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's true. I will say, you know, I think if the Titans were going to move on from quarterback, it would be for one of those two guys. It would be for Wilson or Rodgers or who knows, maybe Brady unretires. We'll talk about that coming up at the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour because he's already talking about such things, which is incredible to me. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. I do wonder though, if you're the Colts, even if it's not Wilson or Rodgers, like, are you more apt to look around for different options? Like, could you make a push for a Baker Mayfield? Like, if you're the Colts, do you feel so – are you so down on Wentz that you're willing to try somebody else, even if it's not a, quote, elite guy? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, the mock drafts are coming out, and saw one that had Desmond Ridder going to the Colts yesterday, and you're going to see a lot of quarterback connections to the Colts this offseason. I just wonder, you know, where they truly are on Wentz. Because you look at his numbers, it wasn't bad from Wentz. He just had some brutal brutal moments to close out the end of the season and some brutal interceptions at key times. The Titans game being, you know, a couple of those interceptions that he had. I just wondered if you gave Chris Ballard some truth serum, you know, at what lengths is he willing to go to make sure that Carson Wentz is not his starting quarterback next year? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah. Is he willing to go to lengths at all? Those comments, and it is interesting when you compare him to, like, you know, John Robinson's comments about Tannehill, certainly leads you to believe. But like you said, you also keep in mind sometimes after – I mean, the way they blew this was truly incredible how badly they blew this. They also got into position to blow it because they beat New England, because they went out to Arizona where he was actually really good in that game.
He was.
What was he, 18 for 28, 225? I mean, he had some very good weeks that led to wins, that got them into position, to choke. And I guess, you know, kind of look at the reality of him. You could still do a lot worse than Carson Wentz. Like if the Colts had Matt Ryan, let's say, what would the Colts outlook be in 2022 with Matt Ryan at quarterback?
Well, I still go back to who are they throwing the ball to? Like, we've talked about that so much. Like, I think Michael Pittman Jr. is a good player. He's not a number one wide receiver. Like, who are they throwing the ball to? That's where, if I'm a Colts fan, the quarterback conversation is one thing, but I'm also turning around looking right back at Chris Ballard and saying, yeah, how about you go get some weapons at wide receiver? Because you don't really have many right now. That to me is – that's also got to be a priority for them. Like, you've talked about it. They're in a good cap situation. They've got some money to spend. It's probably time to spend it if you're the Colts this offseason, would be my guess.
Well, that's the thing. They can go out there into the free agent market and they can do stuff. So credit to them for being in that position. But yeah, like at some point, great. Like, we can't keep applauding that you are in a good cap space. You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the last 2 years, the Titans have won the division that you, think is your rightful claim. So what are you going to do about it? I suspect that, again, it's the same thing. Like, are they going to make a run at somebody? Maybe. But I would think more likely they go get a big-time receiver on the free agent market and then maybe target their QB in the draft. I don't know. But even though it's a quote-unquote weak QB draft, it just takes one guy that you really like.
Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair this week. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
The mute Thank button. You. Oh,
there we go.
He didn't speak, though. I waited. That's right. I didn't speak. Okay. Well, this is the Choice Is Yours Big Game Edition. Okay. I'm not sure I can call it the Boop Bowl Edition, as you know, it's like trademarked and everything, but you get the idea.
Sure.
So, sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Okay. Non-sports. The most essential item, food item, for a Super Bowl party, and if you'd like, please include the recipe.
Ooh, man. The most essential item for a Super Bowl party. Most essential item.
I got mine. Right, go. Oh, you go, Rob.
No, go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, buffalo chicken dip, super, super easy recipe. You put it in your crock pot. You let it simmer all day. You got hot sauce in there, ranch, cheddar cheese, chicken. I think that Oh, and cream cheese. You can't forget the cream cheese. That's the most important part. Basically, you just let it like slow and simmer and cook all day in the crock pot. So delicious. You can do it with chips, veggies. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to eat it this Sunday.
So Michelle just got very excited about the buffalo chicken.
7:45 a.m. I'm like, oh, damn.
That's good stuff.
That's a great call. That's a more recent development. Like that's a kind of a newer dip, right? Kind of. Like, at least it is in my life, but you're right. That's so
yeah, cool. I guess. Yeah.
I'm like a nachos guy. Like, I'm looking forward to on Sunday getting me some just tortilla chips and loading that sucker up with some nachos. I'm a big nachos guy when it comes to watching sports. I don't know why. I don't really eat them when I'm not watching sports, but when I watch sports, Robbie Stanley finds him some nachos.
Yep, that's my answer too. The first day of the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2020 in the bubble, of course, no one was there covering it. Adam Vingan came over. I made a full brisket, okay, for these nachos. So I made a brisket that was legit. And then that's why I'm sure I tweeted pictures. You know, then you know you put now you can also do taco beef, pork, chicken strip, whatever you want. But my stuff always has black beans. You got to have both the liquid cheese and the shredded cheese, tomatoes. And then you let people choose on the side with the sour cream, hot sauce.
Did you just
sauce,
call that liquid salsa, cheese? You mean queso?
Well, there's it's stadium cheese. So it's in a can. So it's like specifically for like stadium nachos.
That's right.
Am I blowing your mind with this, Michelle?
A little bit. Any like liquid cheese, I guess I've just always called queso.
It's not all queso.
Yeah, that's a particular kind of cheese. No, there's a. I think it's actually called stadium cheese. I'd have to go look at a can. It's kind of hidden in like where I shop. But yeah, you gotta have the liquid, and then you put on top the shredded. You know,
that's right. Very nice. I like it.
All right, sports. What player who never played in a Super Bowl do you most wish got the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl?
Ooh, player that never played in the Super Bowl do I most wish got the opportunity?
Oh,
I'm going to start with one that I think Joe Rexroad will have on his list, but he won't. He'll go with another Detroit Lion, Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson still, to me, might be the best wide receiver I've ever seen play football, and he did not approach a Super Bowl. There's a lot of really good receivers. Julio Jones, obviously really good. You know, Devontae Adams is great. There's a lot of great receivers. Calvin Johnson still might be the best. I would have loved to see him play in a Super Bowl, even if it was for the Lions.
Good call.
I'm going with Philip Rivers. I mean, was an incredible quarterback, but just for him not even having that on his ballot, it's just a disappointment, honestly. But yeah, I'm going to go with him for that one.
Yeah, those are both good. And yes, I will go ahead and put this right here. Barry Sanders.
I know where you're going.
It's the clear choice.
Yes, knew we were doing that one.
It's too great to not be in that game. Very sad.
It is sad.
Okay,
two Lions
sports
on the list.
Oh, yeah. There makes a lot of sense that the Lions would. I'd also throw in there maybe a little Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
So close. For the Cleveland Browns fans, because we got to make sure they get represented too. Okay, non-sports. A musical artist in their prime that you most wish played the Super Bowl halftime in whatever time period that may have been. Could be now too.
Blink-182. Think it would be an awesome halftime show. I'm just kidding. But, you know, not really. I'd kind of enjoy a Blink-182 halftime show.
I just did Blink-182 for you. There you go.
I mean, I'm sure he's probably done this. If he has, I just don't remember it. I'm a big Billy Joel guy. Has he played a Super Bowl halftime show? I don't even know.
I don't think so. That's a good call. I'm going to check on this, but I don't think he has.
I'd go Billy Joel.
A good call.
That is a good one, Robbie. I'm going to go. Keep going, Rob.
I've impressed Joe Rexroad with music. It's the first time it's ever happened on the program.
That's not true. Come on.
Joe.
No, I never would have thought of that, but that's like, yeah, how has Billy Joel never gotten in there, you know?
Okay, guys, I'm going to go. I feel like we've seen a lot of rappers recently. Obviously, we have a big lineup this year. But Drake has never performed a Super Bowl. He is probably one of my favorite. He's rap, hip-hop, R&B. He's kind of under all of them. But I would love to see Drake perform at the big game.
And the good thing we know about Drake is, like, whoever's winning at halftime, he'd have that jersey on. And then, you know, if the Bengals come back and win Sunday, he'd switch to that. You know, Drake's all over the place, man.
Oh, man, I like it.
Big Kentucky basketball fan, Drake.
Yeah.
Except when he's shooting air balls in warmups.
Joe Rexrode, your musical artist. I'm interested to hear this one.
Well, now I'm looking through to make sure that Billy Joel. See, you look at some of these and it's just amazing. Like you have like 8 different acts that you're trying to smash. Like again in 2004, you had Jessica Simpson, Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock, and Justin Timberlake. Like
Too many.
So the easy answer is, and for people who people will know this if they watched the Super Bowl back then. I mean, for really until you got into the late 80s, early 90s, it was just like marching bands and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you had like the first one was University of Arizona, a Grambling State, Florida A&M. You know, they had like college marching bands, University of Michigan 1 year. Then it got into rock artists. So in the 70s, you had incredible like prime of all these great bands and they weren't even doing it. My answer is the Beatles, because the Beatles could have played the first Super Bowl, like right in the absolute prime of their career. So, but a close number two is Zeppelin. Get the Let Out about 72 or so. Man,
yeah.
Rocking Super Bowl halftime.
If I can't go Bleak 182, you can't go Beatles. That's what the rule is.
Dude, no. Your Beatles opinion is no. It's debunked. I'm sorry.
Rob, you also impressed Rexrode with your Billy Joel answer, and I'm so proud of you for that. Joe was like, "Oh, I wish I thought of that."
Yeah, Billy Joel's great.
So Elton John also like a Billy Joel, Elton John, because they toured together. That'd be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah,
everybody could get down with that. Okay, all right, last one. Sports. If you could match two teams in a Super Bowl, doesn't have to be teams that actually made it, but it could be two teams of any era. If you want to match them up, you could try to equalize things or whatever. Your dream Super Bowl matchup.
Ooh, I'll start with this one. My dream Super Bowl matchup would be the Elway Broncos against the modern-day Kansas City Chiefs. So I guess Kansas City when they won a couple years ago. The reason I say this
is AFC because, against AFC. I like it. Break all the rules.
You said I could break rules. They don't have to be. They're from different time periods. Put them in there. I don't care. The Broncos and the Chiefs. Let me have it. If we're going strictly NFC-AFC, I will go the Aikman Cowboys. Pick any team you want. So the Aikman Cowboys against the – just pick a Patriots team. I want to see in 20 years how much Tom Brady would destroy those Cowboys teams.
There you go. I like it.
Okay, I'm going to do two Vrabel teams. I'm going to do the Titans this year – and then the Patriots team that Mike Vrabel is on. So, 2003.
Okay.
Right? They went to Super Bowl. Oh, no. It doesn't matter if they went to Super Bowl. But the 2003 Patriots team. A little Vrabel v. Vrabel action.
Wow.
But he would be coaching. He wouldn't actually be on the team.
No, I like the idea of Vrabel screaming at – Coach Vrabel screaming at player Vrabel on the other team. I like that.
Maybe player Vrabel scoring a touchdown and then running over to Coach Vrabel.
that too. Yeah.
And then coaching on the sideline.
Yeah.
I like it. So mine is actually a Super Bowl that should have happened. And the reason I say this is because I really, really wanted to see this Super Bowl. And at this time in my life, I lived in Saudi Arabia. So, we watched the Super Bowl starting at like 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then you go to school right after the Super Bowl ends. So it's like a big investment to watch the Super Bowl when you live overseas. And the Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino, 1985, the only team that beat that Chicago Bears team, one of the greatest teams of all time, the 85 Bears, one loss. Monday Night Football, Dan Marino carved them up. And the freaking Dolphins lose to the Patriots of all things. Like the terrible Steve Grogan, Tony, like this is not the Patriots you know. This is like a mediocre, just got in the playoffs, wild card Patriots team.
Oh, yeah.
gets beat like 46-10 in a terrible Super Bowl. Still woke up to watch it, you know, because it's a Super Bowl. But, like, that was the ultimate, like, can the Dolphins do it again? And then we didn't get the game. So that's – I want that game to play out. Maybe the Dolphins just had their number. Maybe it would have been revenge. I promise – I know that it would have been entertaining and a good game at least. And so that's my choice.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, the 07 Patriots – versus the Bucks from last year. Tom versus Tom.
I like a Tom versus Tom action.
Yeah.
Sure. I like that one. I like that one. Yeah.
I like it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The choice is yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Speaking of Tom Brady, some very interesting comments that Tom Brady has made less than a week after his retirement. We'll get to those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.